Hello and welcome to Just Ask AI Asterisk, the podcast where we dive into the curious, complex, and sometimes counterintuitive world of technology, one question at a time. I'm Herman Poppelberry, your donkey host from Jerusalem. Yes, that's right. A donkey with a penchant for packet routing and a sloth brother named Corn who, last I checked, was still trying to upload a selfie to the cloud. This show is part of a project by Daniel Rosehill. Each episode answers one of Daniel's AI questions in audio form, generated entirely by Sonnet 4, so while thoughtful, it may contain inaccuracies. If you're intrigued, inspired, or just mildly confused, you can learn more or collaborate at danielrosehill.com. Today's question comes from a place of urgency, literally. Daniel asks, in situations where internet failure could mean life or death, like an emergency dispatch center running on VoIP, how do providers ensure near-perfect uptime? How many backup connections are enough? And when does adding more become pointless over-engineering? It's a brilliant question, and the answer lives at the intersection of engineering, economics, and the art of preparing for the improbable. Let's start with the stakes. Imagine a 911 call center. A citizen dials for help. The call travels over voice over IP, VoIP, which means it's riding on the internet, not traditional phone lines. If the internet drops, even for 10 seconds, that call might not go through. No ring, no dispatcher, no help. In critical infrastructure, downtime isn't an inconvenience, it's a failure of duty. So how do these systems stay online virtually all the time? The short answer is redundancy, but not just one kind. It's redundancy layered like an onion, with each layer designed to protect against a different kind of failure. Let's peel it back. First, there's the concept of multi-homing, connecting to more than one internet service provider or ISP. A typical high-availability setup might use two or three upstream providers. Why not just one? Because even the most reliable provider can have outages, fiber cuts, power failures, software bugs, or even backhoes digging in the wrong place. By having multiple providers, you ensure that if one goes down, traffic can reroute through another. But here's the catch. It's not enough to have two connections from the same provider or even two connections that run down the same street. True redundancy requires asterisk diversity, diverse physical paths, diverse network providers, and ideally, diverse geographic entry points to your facility. This is known as the last mile problem. If both your ISPs use the same underground conduit, a single backhoe can take out both. So best practices demand that backup lines enter the building from opposite sides, travel through separate conduits, and connect to different core networks. Now, how many providers is enough? The sweet spot in most mission-critical environments is 2 to 4. 2 is the bare minimum for failover, 1 active, 1 standby. 3 or 4 allows for load balancing and protection against correlated failures. Beyond that, you hit diminishing returns fast. As Daniel rightly points out, 90 providers would be absurd. The 91st connection would never be used, and the cost, in hardware management and complexity, would outweigh any marginal gain in reliability. So where does that balance come from? It's guided by standards and frameworks, though not a single universal rule. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security, for example, recommends that public safety answering points, that's 911 centers, maintain at least 2 diverse broadband connections from separate providers. The National Emergency Number Association, or NENA, echoes this in its I3 architecture for next generation 911, which mandates redundant, diverse IP connections. But redundancy isn't just about the number of pipes, it's also about how you manage them. This is where protocols like BGP, Border Gateway Protocol, come in. BGP is the postal service of the internet, deciding how data gets routed between networks. In a multi-homed setup, BGP can automatically detect when one provider is down and reroute traffic through another, often in under a second. That's fast enough that a VoIP call might glitch but not drop. And it's not just the internet connections. The entire stack must be redundant, power supplies, routers, switches, even the physical servers. Emergency centers often have dual power feeds from different substations, backup generators, and battery banks. Network gear is duplicated in active-passive or active-active configurations. If one router dies, the other takes over seamlessly. But let's talk about the elephant in the room. Can you ever achieve 100% uptime? Technically, no. The goal is 99.999% availability, which allows for just under 5 minutes of downtime per year. For some systems, it's 6 nines, under 30 seconds per decade, but even that isn't absolute. There's always a risk of a common cause failure, something that takes out all redundant systems at once, like a massive solar flare, a regional blackout, or a cyberattack on core infrastructure. So engineers don't just plan for component failure, they plan for asterisk-correlated asterisk failure. That's why some high-availability sites use geographically dispersed data centers. If the primary center in, say, Dallas goes offline, traffic fails over to a secondary center in Denver. This is called asterisk geographic redundancy, and it's common in financial systems, cloud providers, and yes, emergency services. Now about those diminishing returns. There's a concept in reliability engineering called the asterisk bathtub curve. Failure rates are high at the beginning, infant mortality, low during normal operation, and high again at the end, wear out. But when you add redundancy, you're not just fighting random failures, you're also introducing complexity, and complexity brings new failure modes. More connections mean more configuration errors, more software bugs, more points of attack for hackers. At some point, adding another ISP increases risk more than it reduces it. So the standard best practice, 2 to 4 diverse upstream providers, physically and logically separated, with automated failover via BGP, backed by redundant power and hardware, and ideally a geographically distant failover site. That's the gold standard for public safety networks, financial trading floors, and major cloud providers. But here's a quirky thought. Sometimes the weakest link isn't the network, it's the human. I once read about a data center where both internet feeds were cut, not by a storm or a hacker, but because a technician accidentally disconnected the backup line while troubleshooting the primary. That's why procedures matter as much as technology. Change management, regular failover testing, and staff training are just as critical as fiber optics. And let's not forget Korn, my sloth brother. Last week he tried to help by unplugging a router to charge his banana-shaped phone. It took 3 hours to restore service at the local animal shelter. True story, point is, no amount of redundancy protects against a curious sloth with low battery anxiety. To wrap up, in life or death networks, 100% uptime is the goal, but it's achieved not by piling on connections, but by thoughtful layered redundancy, diverse providers, diverse paths, smart routing, and rigorous procedures. The balance is struck around 2 to 4 upstreams, where reliability gains outweigh cost and complexity. There's no magic number, but there is a principle. Prepare for the likely, plan for the extreme, and always, asterisk always, assume someone will unplug the wrong cable. Thanks for listening to Just Ask AI. If you have a question that keeps you up at night about tech life or why sloths can't use Wi-Fi, send it to daniel@danielrosehill.com. Until next time, stay curious, stay connected, and for the love of bandwidth, label your cables. I'm Herman Popplebury, reminding you that in a world of infinite data, the most important connection is the one that never drops.